This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Breaking Bread, the show where we explore food through culture, conversations, and a whole lot of curiosity. I'm your host, Lo Yijun, food writer and cook, best known for the Jun and Tonic recipe blog. On each episode of this show, we explore an ingredient, a dish, or a particularly intriguing little story about food. And I bring in some food friends and experts to teach us to eat and cook better. With this being the very first episode of the show, I thought it'd be good to tell you, our listeners, a bit about our motivations behind the show. Now, as Malaysians, there's no doubt in the world that we love food. But for a region so obsessed with eating and so rich in its food culture, there's been very little meaningful explorations on food and cooking. I mean, sure, we talk about our favourite nasi lemak and fried chicken places and expressed our shock and horror when Rendang Gate happened. But when you think about it, there are so many interesting food stories and questions that haven't been tackled. I mean, have you ever wondered how nasi lemak even became our national dish? Or what really makes a kuih and not a cake? And is crispy rendang really a bad thing? So on this show, we'll try our very best to answer these questions and more. Hopefully, through the many conversations we'll have with industry experts and through cooking a thing or two, you'll join me in unearthing some of the hidden culinary gems and stories of our region. So prepare for your taste buds to be tickled through the airwaves. Now onto the show. On today's show, we're talking about a drink that you might have seen in health stores and supermarkets lately. It's fizzy, it's funky, and it's definitely fermented. Yep, we're talking about kombucha. While kombucha might seem like a pretty recent health fad driven by the food trends and crazy diets in the US, it actually has origins in China and even parts of Russia. It has a kind of murky history dating back thousands of years, where I guess emperors and tsars used to drink it. And the healthy part of it isn't a recent invention too, because it's always had some sort of benefit attached to it, from claims that it can cure high blood pressure to healing the common cold, and yes, even curing cancer and AIDS. Now the weird thing is, though most of us, myself included, might have come across the term kombucha only in the last few months, if not years, if you dig around and speak to a few of your friends and family in Malaysia about it, you might find that even in our country, there are some aunties and families, mostly Chinese, that have been brewing it for years. It was just never called kombucha. Instead, they called it weird Chinese names like Hong Cha Jun, which means red tea fungus in Mandarin, or even Hai Mo Gu, which literally means sea mushroom. And though I have recently started brewing my own kombucha at home too, not really for health reasons, just for the taste really, it still seems really strange and magical to me that, you know, a drink that starts off as basically a simple sweet tea, through the magic of fermentation, it can transform into a tangy, almost refreshing soda. So to help me uncover the mystery of this funky drink today, we have Boon Lok on the show to teach us all he knows about kombucha. Now, Boon is the founder of Scoby Farm, a company he set up to teach people about brewing kombucha at home through the starter kits he provides, as well as hands-on classes he has. So, on to the show.
What kombucha is, actually, it is fermented tea. So to get this fermented tea, you need to have a SCOBY, and then you just introduce it into sugar tea, and within a fermentation period of 7 to 10 days, voila, you have kombucha.
And what does SCOBY stand for?
Okay, SCOBY is a very cute name. Actually, it's an acronym of a colony of bacteria and yeast. So it's very hard for you to just, every day, you refer to it as colony of bacteria and yeast, so people refer to it as a SCOBY.
And if you're not sure, if you're not familiar with the kombucha drink, right, it actually looks quite scary, right?
Yeah.
In a jar, because it looks like normal tea, except there's a piece of alien blob floating on top of it almost, and that is the SCOBY, right?
Yep, that's right.
And what does the SCOBY actually do to the tea?
Okay, what happens is that when you introduce a SCOBY into tea, the yeast and bacteria will start to break down the sugar and create organic acids, and at the same time, a bit of alcohol. So at the end of the whole process, you have something that is a synergistic drink that is probiotic and tastes very nice at the same time.
Mm. So it actually tastes pretty sour, right?
The sour part, that one can be adjusted based on the taste. So you want it sweeter, you lessen the fermentation process. You want it to be tangier, you extend it. So it's up to the maker, actually.
But aside from, I guess, the acid, like, or the vinegar that the SCOBY will transform the sugars into, is there any other, like, flavor molecules that come out of the fermentation process?
Out of the fermentation process, like what I said earlier, there's traces of alcohol and a bit of an organic acid inside.
Mm.
Yes.
But from the tea itself, is there... Because kombucha can only be made from tea, right?
Yep, that's right.
Although some of you have tried it with coffee also?
Yeah, you can make it with coffee, but however, when you use the SCOBY on coffee, eventually it will tie off and it will die off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're actually putting a lot of stress on it because the bacteria and yeast is very much is for tea.
Okay, I have to probably give a disclaimer first. I actually personally brew kombucha at home also, so I'm quite familiar with the process of it, though maybe understanding it in detail, I'm not quite sure like what is going on with my SCOBY and what is happening.
Okay.
But yeah, I've tried many different kinds of teas, and does the actually using different teas affect the flavor? Like some people say you can't use green tea, is that true?
Oh, that's definitely not true, because the beauty of making kombucha is the tea itself. Because tea, there are so many types of tea. So the different type of tea that you use, you result in different type of kombucha. In fact, if you use a good tea, a fine one or an organic one, the end product is very, very different, very, very nice.
Mm.
If you are someone that likes something bold, you go for black tea.
Mm.
You want something lighter, green tea is definitely, you have to try to make a green tea because it's this light floral taste.
Ah.
I can go on tea, but we are talking kombucha today.
Then what about if you use more, I guess, like flavored teas like Earl Grey, is that a no-no?
Earl Grey, sometimes it still works because sometimes you don't use Earl Grey because there's some oil from the bergamot.
Ah, okay.
It might disturb the brewing process, but at the end of the day, it still works.
Mm.
However, there's one misunderstanding that usually comes up from making kombucha is that some people use tisanes, such as...
Sorry, what's that?
Tisanes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so those are actually flower tea.
Right.
So those flower like chrysanthemum, chamomile, you can use it, but same thing like coffee, eventually it will tire off the SCOBY and then it will not work that well.
Ah,
always stick with tea.
Mm.
That's the best way.
Yeah, I think recently in Malaysia, you've been seeing a lot of kombucha like bottles on supermarket shelves, and even some cafes have started selling them, right?
Yep.
How did this trend actually come to be?
Okay, this trend started a few years ago. When I started off a few years ago, not many people are doing it, but as knowledge on kombucha starts disseminating everywhere, people get interested in it because to me, kombucha is like an alternative to all these fizzy drinks or power drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes, actually, in my opinion, it tastes better.
Mm.
And it's healthier at the same time.
I think so too. And you were saying you did it for a few years already, right?
Because
I checked out you had a kombucha blog from a few years ago.
Yep.
But now you've transitioned into having this company you call SCOBY Farm, right?
Yep.
In which you, I guess, teach people how to make kombucha and even sell SCOBYs and kombuchas to people.
Yeah.
How did this like business idea come about?
Okay, when I started off, not many people know about kombucha. Mm. And in fact, the correct way to make kombucha, the knowledge is there, but no one actually came out to conduct workshop and teach people. As the interest grows, so I decided to conduct workshops and to teach people about kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, also, there are a group of people that like hands-on, and there's a group of people that just likes the ring. So for those that like the ring, actually, I do produce on a microbrewery to supply kombucha to certain places such as bands.
Mm.
And moving forward, also, actually, I'm working with a few partners.
Right.
And next year, we are going fully organic. So we are trying to rebrand it to Wonder Brew. So look out, and 2019 is coming out soon.
Oh, cool. So when you say organic, what is that? Are you not using, I guess, organic tea products right now?
Okay, currently it's a blend of organic products and some of it is not organic. So moving forward in 2019, you want everything from the sugar, from the tea, from even the fruits that we use.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be fully organic, and we want to support the local organic farmers on this. Yeah.
And we were chatting a bit just now, and you were saying how in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, you've seen the crowd that you've been getting at your kombucha classes shifting from, I guess, the more elderly generation into more younger people getting interested in kombuchas,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, that's right. Oh. You can see more and more younger people. In fact, the questions that the younger people ask are very pertinent, mostly to health. So they ask you, okay, what are the health benefits of kombucha? Mm. Is it very hard to make? Mm. How does it affect me on a day-to-day basis? Is the caffeine level very high? Mm. So those are the things that they're very interested in.
On that note, actually, what is the health? What are the health benefits of kombucha?
Okay, health benefits. That one, for me, I think we look into the tangible first. Because when you talk about kombucha, the most tangible thing they can see is it's made from tea. Mm-hmm. So the health benefits of tea are the antioxidant, the detoxifying effect. That is the proven thing.
So
you're getting the benefits of tea. At the same time, when you brew kombucha, it's something fermented. So when it's fermented, you have good bacteria, the probiotics. So it's 1 plus 1 equals to 3. Because it's a synergistic effect of the tea and the good bacteria. Mm-hmm. Because I've been going around looking at other products kombucha on the market. There's a lot of bombastic claims, and they claim that it can cure diabetes, cancer, all these things.
Yeah, like cancer. From little things, from like, fatigue, it's understandable. Like you get a bit of fizzy drink, and then you get like, I guess, like sugar rush. But then you see claims of like them curing cancer, or even like AIDS or something.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy.
So all these things, please do take it with a pinch of salt.
Because I've heard that in the past, at least in the 80s or 90s in the US, right, where like there was a big kombucha craze, people kind of believed that kombucha actually would cure AIDS. That's why that was one of the reasons it became so popular, right?
Yeah, it became viral. In fact, there was another story that was viral around the 80s. They were saying that the President Ronald Reagan, he was suffering from cancer at the same time.
And he had kombucha.
It was claimed that he was drinking 2 to 3 liters of kombucha every day, and the cancer slowly disappeared. So, of course, things like this is very sticky. People tend to remember it, but how true it is, I don't know.
Was there a similar one in Malaysia which kind of made kombucha blow up in the past?
No, there's no such stories yet.
I've been speaking to Boon Lok on kombucha. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll find out more about Boon's company, Scoby Farm, and we also do a bit of kombucha tasting in the studio. Stay tuned. You're listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, a show where we obsess a bit too much about food. I'm Jun, and I've just been speaking to Boon, a kombucha brewer and kombucha coach. So we've been speaking about how you can make kombucha at home and demystifying a few of the health trends associated with it. So now we're going to get into a bit of what Boon does on a daily in his company. So far, you've been in the business for 5-6 years. How have you seen the industry grow? There's been a lot more kombucha brewers around, right, in Malaysia?
Yeah.
What makes your company stand out among the rest, I guess?
Okay, what makes our company stand out compared to the rest is because, number one, it's an end-to-end process. The first part, even when we select our teas, we select the best, and we do our own blending, and we do a lot of taste testing. Because the core of it is always the tea. And all the products all the fruits, the herbs that we bring in are all organic and fresh. And the fermentation process also, we do it in a very controlled manner, in a controlled environment. So the end product, we do some sampling as well to make sure that it's safe and it's good to drink.
Right. Yeah. On your website, I saw there was something about a 3-step process. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about
The 3-step process, step one, of course, is a selection of all the freshest produce and the best teas.
Right.
Second part is the fermentation process. And the third part, of course, is the secondary ferment, whereby we leave it for a few days to make sure that it creates a fizziness. The fizziness is not infused. It's actually created naturally through the bacteria and yeast.
So far, have you seen more demand or sales for the kombucha drink itself or SCOBYs?
It's actually both. People are asking for SCOBYs, those that are very hands-on. They will like to get a hands-on SCOBY to do themselves. And the demand is slowly growing up. It's slowly increasing year to year. Because I see even nowadays, if you go to any pop-up shops out there, you're going to see one small shop selling kombucha with a little jar with all the SCOBY inside.
Mm.
Yeah.
How long does it last, actually, ASCOBY? Just wondering.
ASCOBY, actually, as it is, it will last you a few rounds of ferment. Yeah. So usually I advise people to use it around 5 to 6 times. Uh-huh. After that, you'll start to slow down.
Yeah, and then, you suggest people get a new SCOBY?
You don't have to get a new SCOBY because every time there's a ferment, a new SCOBY will be formed. So you take care of the
mud. You throw away the old layers, is it?
Yeah, and that's right.
Ah, okay. And I've seen photos from your Facebook page as well. Like, when you sell SCOBYs to people, they get a small certificate of, adoption.
It's just a congratulations, you have to take care of a SCOBY because taking care of a SCOBY is very much like taking care of a baby. You need to give it a lot of love.
So you actually bought some kombuchas here with you today?
Yes. I actually bought 4 flavors, two original ones.
So many.
And 2 infused with fruits and herbs.
Okay, yeah. Should we try it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not very fizzy, actually.
Yeah, this batch.
Ah, so each batch, there's some variation to the fizziness, right?
Yes, that's right.
But how much of it can you control, though?
Okay, in terms of control for fizziness, that one's very much depend on the secondary ferment duration. So the longer it is, it becomes more and more fizzy. Like the one that you're drinking now, is only around 4 to 5 days. So the fizziness is not 100%.
So if you leave it for like a week or 2 weeks, it'll get more and more fizzy?
Then it'll become like a champagne, and it's very explosive at the same time. So when you open up, poop.
It also depends on what fruits or what flavors you put inside your secondary fermentation, right? Because I tried one with pineapple. Oh, it was a disaster. I tried opening it, so and it just like blew up all across the kitchen.
You're considered lucky in a way because the only thing that blew up was the water. Sometimes the bottle itself might explode. There have been cases happening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Then would you suggest people get fermentation-grade bottles then?
Fermentation-grade bottle, not necessary, but you have to be very mindful. Like every 5 to 6 days, you have to pop it up. If the pressure is too high, just release some of it. Then it should be quite safe.
Yeah, but this is very nice. Cool. This was the original, plain flavor.
Plain flavor. Okay, let's try the lighter flavor. So this is green tea, so this is a bit lighter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool.
Try green tea.
I wouldn't be able to tell that it's green tea just from drinking it.
But it's just a lighter flavor compared to the original one.
Yeah, it's lighter. About, like, cannot pinpoint that it is green tea. Yeah. It's a little bit floral.
Okay, so we've got final 2 flavors. This is infused. This is my personal favorite, because somehow passion fruit and oolong tea works very well.
Oh, okay.
Let's do a shake first. This one, if you don't like the vinegar taste, this is the way to go. This is how you introduce people to drink kombucha.
Nice. So actually, most people, when they drink kombucha for the first time, do you think they are put off by the taste?
Okay, if the first time drinker is very familiar to cider or vinegarish drink, they will not be put off. But those that stay away from vinegar drink, the first thing that they will comment on is, I can smell the vinegar. Where is the vinegar coming from?
Yeah.
So this is where you need to be creative. You do your infusion.
Oh, this is really good. You can't, you smell the passion fruit, and there's not a lot of like sourness from the vinegar. Vinegar, it's mostly from the fruit.
But at the end notes, you can also taste the tea at the back. So this is how you train,
nice.
Get people to introduce people to kombucha.
Even better than all the ones I make at home.
Give it a try.
Okay, we'll do this one first.
Okay, so the last one, this is just a new formula that I came out with. I think it's very familiar. It's blue pea and lemongrass.
Okay. So it's nasi kerabu in a drink.
Is it? Liquid nasi kerabu, yeah.
Oh, but it's not blue or purple, it's a bit
in between,
pinkish. This is lemongrass.
Oh, well, we call it purple pari pari.
We can try some of mine. Probably won't be up to your standards, but let's see. I have 2 here. This one is a ginger.
Oh, ginger.
Yeah.
Ginger is very explosive. So when you do saccharine ferment, please be very careful.
Oh, yeah. I kind of let go of the air a bit already. So this one isn't that fizzy. Actually, is there a limit to how long you can keep the kombucha for the first fermentation?
There's no limit. But the longer it is, it becomes very, very vinegarish to a point that you can no longer enjoy it anymore. This one is very kicking straight school.
Okay,
how many days have you done this? It's at least like 10 days.
Yeah.
At least 10 days.
Because I tend to, I'm really bad with keeping my SCOBYs. I just leave it there and then I forget. And then maybe like 2 weeks later, I realize, I need to change it out. I need to make a new batch.
So usually this happens after 2 weeks. The acid is very strong. When you drink it, the first time, it goes straight into your throat. Do you feel the effect?
Yeah, this acid is very strong. Sorry, it's not as good as yours. Yeah, plus the ginger, right? So ginger. It's like the fizziness a bit, plus the ginger, the heat of the ginger.
Okay, this one.
This one is one of my weird experiments.
Please explain.
I put Yakult in it.
Yakult, okay.
Okay. This is try.
Yakult and tea.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think after this we're going to try.
Okay, hopefully it won't cause any tummy aches. I haven't tried it actually, so.
Oh. Tastes like Yakult. It's very much. Very much Yakult.
Can you credit me if you ever said
it? Yeah, next time I put that created by June.
Oh yeah. Surprisingly, it's better than I expected. So for those who are, I guess, planning to make kombucha at home, maybe you can tell them like just a small recipe and how you can start making one.
Okay, number one, of course, you need to get the SCOBY. Mm-hmm. So please get it from a reputable source, because some SCOBYs as given to people are very inactive. So when you do it with tea, nothing happens. Mm. So number one, get the SCOBY. Number two, the recipe is actually very easy. You just need to find, you need tea, of course, pure tea, not those flower tea. Mm-hmm. And the second ingredient, of course, is the sugar. So once you have all these three things in place, the next thing you need to have, of course, is a glass jar.
Yeah.
A glass jar, because what we are doing, the fermentation process is a bit slightly acidic. So please do not use plastic. Mm. So at this tree.
Or metal, right?
Metal, yeah. That might cause leaching, and it's actually very bad. So once you have all these three things in place, you just introduce all three together. And ferment it for around 7 to 10 days. After the 7 to 10 days process, then voila, you have the magic, then you have the drink, then enjoy your drink. So if you want it to be fizzy, get those airtight bottles, introduce it into the airtight bottle, mix it with fruits, and then after around 5 days, you have something fizzy to drink. It's something fizzy, natural, and quite nice to drink.
Cool. So thank you, Boon, for coming onto the show. That's all we have time for today. I hope this interview has encouraged all you guys to try making kombucha at home. Thank you so much, Boon.
Thank you, June, for having me here.
Well, that's all for this week's show. If you missed any part of the show, download the episode on www.bfm.mine or find it on the BFM app. We'll also be releasing the recipe for that Yakult kombucha I made and tasted, and you can find that on our podcast page on the website. There's also loads more recipes you can check out on my blog, junandtonic.com. That's JUNANDTONIC.com. I'm Jun, and you've been listening to Breaking Bread on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.